Has anyone ever seen me dad on his bike? Okay. Clearly, by your laughing, some of you have, because it's not something that you would forget easily. He has bright yellow shoes, bright yellow pants, a bright yellow jacket, a bright yellow backpack, and a bright yellow helmet. His message is be seen, be safe. He always says, be seen, be safe. Now, I'm quite into me cycling, but you wouldn't see me dad wearing what my dad wears. And so I bought myself a light, because I think it's really important to be seen on a bike. So I bought myself this amazing light, and it's really, really powerful. You can see it from distances. It'd help if I put the battery in. Yeah, it's quite. Obviously, it's not as good when the lights are all on, but I promise it is really, really bright, and you can see it from miles away. It's a really, really good bright light. Okay. So it's a really amazing bright light. But this light, this torch, is absolutely useless without the power of the battery put into it, isn't it? It's absolutely useless. But once the battery's in, it can really shine. We've been learning these last few weeks about the church. We've been learning that the church is not a building, it's a people whose master is Jesus, whose message is the gospel, a message of reconciliation. And tonight we're going to be looking at the church, its power. And to help us, we're going to be looking at the church in Thessalonica as an example. So if you've got your Bible, please can you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And while you're doing so, just going to have a little bit of background about this book. So the background to this text is that Jesus has come to earth. He's lived a perfect life that we couldn't live. He died the death on the cross that we deserve to pay the penalty that our sins deserve and to buy back a people to himself. He rose again from the dead for our justification and ascended into heaven. But before he did so, before he ascended into heaven, he gave the great commission to his disciples, which was, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. One such witness was the Apostle Paul, who used to persecute Christians, but then he met Jesus and his life was transformed. And he was the witness, he was the missionary to the Gentile people. And he went on loads of missionary journeys all around the place, telling people about Jesus and setting up churches. One such missionary journey, in Acts chapter 17, he went to the Greek city of Thessalonica. And when he was there, he was only there for a very short time, he witnessed to and won a very small group of people who became Christians. He started the church in Thessalonica. And this small group of Christians received the gospel. But while he was there, a persecution arose and a mob was gathered and a riot was caused. And these people were really under persecution. So much so that Paul and Silas had to escape out of the city because the local authorities didn't see Jesus as king. So they had to escape from the city, but meanwhile, a small group of Christians remained. And Paul later on was thinking about these Christians and he sent Timothy to see how they were getting on. And while Timothy came back and he said that there was a great persecution, but that these Christians were doing amazing, the church was doing so well, and that these Christians in Thessalonica were known for their joy. And Paul must have been really encouraged by that. Lots of his letters, he has to rebuke, he has to correct, but he must have been really encouraged by this Thessalonian church. And they're a real example to other churches in the region, and they're a really good example to us. So let's read what he says at the beginning of the start of this letter in verse 1. He says, Paul, Silvanus, which is Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. He was clearly pleased with them. But these were just ordinary people. Yet this Thessalonian church was a living church. It was a persevering church. It was a witnessing church. It was a church that had been transformed. And it was a church which hoped in the return of Jesus. And all of this was evident because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to be looking at this Spirit-empowered church. And hopefully in doing so, we're going to recognize that without the Holy Spirit's work in our church, we are nothing. Number one, Spirit-empowered life. Verse 4. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. This church had Spirit-empowered life. Look at verse 4. This church is loved and chosen by God. He's the instigator here. The gospel came through Paul's preaching, but something happened. It came not only in word, verse 4, but also, verse 5, sorry, but in power and full conviction, straight to the heart. This is not an academic exercise. This is life. This is the word of truth. The Holy Spirit convicting men and women of their sin, of their need for righteousness, and an upcoming judgment. This cannot happen merely through words. Yes, the Apostle Paul is speaking, but God has to speak. And it is by the Holy Spirit power that life-giving power happens, that life happens. Matthias said, just as God said, let there be light, and there was light, God says, let there be life, and there is life. Similarly, Sinclair Ferguson says, regeneration, however it is described, is a divine activity in us in which we are not the actors, but the recipients. And this group of Thessalonians can be called the church because something that God has done in giving life to their dead souls. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. This Thessalonian church had spirit-empowered life. Number two, spirit-empowered perseverance. Verse 6, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Further evidence of the church's power here is in spirit-empowered perseverance. Look at what happened. They received and pursued joy. The temporal things which they formerly loved now seemed inadequate compared to Jesus. They wanted to be like Jesus. Do you remember our studies in John over the last couple of weeks? Remember in John chapter 15, Jesus is saying, abide in my love. He's saying, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. I wonder what was going through Peter's head during that. I love Peter. He's one of my favourite characters in the New Testament. He always seems to put his foot in it, didn't he? But I wonder what must have been going through his head. I wonder if he was thinking, obey you, and you're going. I'm struggling to obey you now, and I'm with you. But what does Jesus say? He follows it up with, the helper will come. The helper will come. He'll help you obey. He'll help you persevere. He'll help you keep going. The helper is the person of the Holy Spirit, and he will point to Jesus. Here in this Thessalonian church, the helper has come, and their obedience is out of joy, which the Holy Spirit gives, and the hope of what's to come. But it's not without toil. Look at verse 3. The church labors and works. It's not easy. It's a real battle. It's a proper battle. It's difficulty, real difficulty, affliction, real affliction. But the joy of knowing Jesus completely outweighs their current strife. And it's so much so that they're not just imitating Paul and Silas now. They're imitating Jesus. They want to be like Jesus more than anything else. How would they do that? They would have to know and hear about Jesus. They would have to be in the scriptures. Because how can you obey instruction without first being given instruction? There are four ways in which objects react to light. Some are transparent, like glass. Light shines through them. Some are translucent. They scatter the light. I might have pronounced that wrong. Some are opaque. They block out the light. But some are like mirrors. They reflect the light. This church reflected the light. They reflected Jesus. They sought to be imitators of the Lord. This church was spirit-empowered to persevere and look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of their faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. They were in real difficulty, but they knew that before the crown comes the cross. And so they toiled, they worked. God is enjoyed when he is obeyed, and perseverance is obedience in difficulty. This church was spirit-empowered to work and labor in joy and being pointed to Jesus in order to be more like him. Number three, spirit-empowered witness. It says in verse 7, so you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. The power of the Spirit comes upon this church and gives these people life. It enables them to persevere in difficulty. And now, look at this. It creates a witness. Look, not only the people in their city of Thessalonica know of their Jesus, but also the people in the region to the north and the people in the region to the south. Not only that, people everywhere know about it, know about their message. But you know what? It's not their message. It's the word of the Lord that sounds forth from them. Once again, the Spirit's power is evident here. It's God's message. You may have heard the very famous quote, preach the gospel at all times and when necessary use words. I think St. Francis of Assisi is sometimes a bit misrepresented, as if this quote is only about behavior. But we clearly are called to proclaim the gospel, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Here, this Thessalonian church are completing and fulfilling the Great Commission. They're proclaiming the gospel, even if it costs them their lives. Witness both in language and in lifestyle. But it's God who speaks. This is something that comes from the inside out. Robert Cook gives this great quote. He says, witnessing is not an effort, it's an overspill. I really wanted to get, I asked John this morning if I could get a glass of water and just keep pouring it, so that it keep overspilling. I really love that quote. Witnessing is not an effort, it's an overspill. This is not something the church merely does. It's something that we are. And look at how effective they are too. Paul, the great missionary, doesn't have to say anything. Like, imagine how encouraged he'd be. Yeah, Paul, we know. We've heard and we've seen. Those Christians, those Thessalonian Christians, yeah, it's evident. The power is evident. We've seen and we've heard and we have now received. How encouraged must he be? He doesn't even have to say anything because they're doing it. God's moving. It's spirit-empowered witness. Number four, transformation. Spirit-empowered transformation. It says in verse 9, for they themselves report concerning us, the kind of reception we had among you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. See, these Macedonians and Achaeans, they could spot a phony a mile off. But here, they've not only heard the gospel, but they've seen something very different in these men and women from Thessalonica. They've seen these men and women who formerly worshipped idols, and they've took a complete U-turn. They've been transformed. And this transformation creates the opportunity to profess faith. It's definitely something from the inside. And this isn't pulling up our socks. It's not turning up a new leaf. It's not something worked up. It's something sent down. Trying to do it yourself, it's a useless exercise. Trying to do it yourself is like being stuck in sinking sand and using your arms to get your legs out and then using your face to get your arms out. You know, it's not going to happen. We need a new heart, a new desire, and a new will. And only the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit can do that. And that's something that this Thessalonian church had received. Thomas Adams said that repentance is the change of the mind and regeneration is the change of the man. And this church was spirit empowered, and this was evident in their transformation. New life was evident by the contrast from their old life. It was a complete U-turn. God is at work. Number 5, spirit empowered hope. Verse 10. And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. This church received life by the Spirit. It persevered by the Spirit. It witnessed in the Spirit. It was transformed by the Spirit. And lastly, was given spirit-empowered hope. Now, I've not experienced the type of toil and suffering that this church had. And maybe we should thank God for that freedom that we have. But look at how spiritual these men and women are. Look at how loose their grip on this life is, on this world is. They eagerly await Jesus' return. Their suffering is refining them. Every chapter in 1 Thessalonians ends with reference to Jesus coming back and the impact on how Christians should live in that reality. Living with eager expectation of Jesus' return gives evidence to faith, creates motivation to see other people saved, and encouragement for holy living. For the Thessalonian church in the midst of persecution, this would have been both a comfort and a confidence, because they knew that the sufferings of this present time were not worthy to be compared to the glory that awaits them in Christ Jesus. And the same power that brought Christ back from the dead is the power that will offer hope for his return, with men and women who will be raised with him and be able to enjoy him forever. Spirit-empowered life, spirit-empowered perseverance, spirit-empowered witness, spirit-empowered transformation, spirit-empowered hope. This church in Thessalonica was amazing, wasn't it? It's a real encouragement to us, isn't it? And it's good to have a picture sometimes, I think. But you know what? They're just ordinary people. They're just ordinary people. This is God's work. So what about the church here and now? What about us at Bridge Chapel? Is this meant to make us feel guilty? Or is this some type of motivational speech? No. The church's power has nothing to do with people. The church's power is the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. We need him to work in our lives. So by point of application, number 1, have you received life? Have you truly received the gospel? Not as a theory, not as an academic exercise, but in power. Has the Holy Spirit entered you? If so, when? Are you a Christian or a churchgoer? Is it real? The Holy Spirit indwelling is the evidence for heaven's future residence. Humble yourself before him and ask God to soften your heart if you don't know that to be a reality in your life. Ask the Holy Spirit to come and dwell within you and breathe his life-giving power into your cold heart, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He gives life and he points to Jesus. Number 2, if you have received this power, then are you persevering in obedience? Okay, so there might not be a mob outside your door. There might not be a riot in the city. wanting you dead for your faith. But nevertheless, are you working hard? Are you toiling because your love for Jesus and your joy outweighs anything else? To obey when there's a risk of discrimination at work. To obey when you're excluded by your mates or laughed at by those around you. Is the joy on offer better? Is the Spirit causing a yearning inside you where you want to be holy? I don't want to be like that. I want to be like this. Is that yearning there? Do you yearn after holiness? Are you willing to work for it because the joy is well better? Number three, are you overflowing with witness? Is it coming out your mouth? Who have you told this week about Jesus? I know this is a real challenge for me, but it shouldn't just be worked up. We talk about what we love, don't we? So are we asking the Spirit to stir our affection for Jesus so that we'd want to talk about him more? Like the disciples in chains, we'd say, we can't help it. Just got to talk about Jesus. It's who I love. It's what I love. What is witnessing something you say for a special occasion? Number four, what about your lifestyle? Can people see you and see the transformation? By the help of the Spirit, have you been regenerated and are you being sanctified? Do people see your life and see a U-turn? This is a real challenge to me because so often I put myself on the throne. So often the things I want is more appealing. But it's the Spirit's work to make me love Jesus more. But I must yield. I must say, Lord, you must increase and I must decrease. What are your gods? Is it your career? Is it your lifestyle? Is it your image? Is it your money? Is it religiosity? Ask the Spirit to transform you because the church's witness is completely undermined if new life and transformation isn't evident. And finally, number five, where's your hope? Are we eagerly awaiting Jesus? Is heaven our home? Do we feel like aliens in this place or is it a little bit too comfortable? Do we believe that we will be raised? Is that a reality to us? And is that causing an urgency to tell everyone about Jesus? Is that causing a desire for personal holiness? If you knew Jesus was coming back today, would you be ready? Or is he going to catch us sleeping? Oh Lord, we need you. Perhaps you can pray this in your heart. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Bend me, break me, mold me, fill me. Holy Spirit, point this group of believers here at Bridge Chapel to Jesus. Cause us to love him more. And send your power, O Lord our God. Stand and sing.